This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
This would be the uncreative selection of the New York Jets touchdown song they fire off when they find the end zone during their home game, so no one can accuse it of being overplayed, I guess, this season. Texans and Jets tomorrow, the Saturday phase of the NFL season. And our recent run of stellar beat guys continues. And I actually haven't spoken with this guy, and I'm thinking 3 years or so. Maybe the last Texans-Jets matchup. ESPN.com, NFL Nation. Rich Cimini, who's covered the Jets for a long time. So, Rich,
hey,
I appreciate
Charlie,
it.
How you doing? It's been
great.
A while.
It has. Happy holidays. And week to week, your tenure covering the Jets. Happy holidays to you. Indeed, it has been a while. All your years covering the Jets, is it a week-to-week proposition whether I should offer congratulations or condolences on that?
Yeah, it's been a long time, Charlie. This is, first of all, good to talk to you. We haven't talked in a while. And secondly, this is my 30th year on the Jets, 3-0. And I'm not sure if that deserves, a Purple Heart or just entrance to an insane asylum. So whatever, it's another one of those Jet years.
Well, and long ago secured their eighth consecutive non-playoff season. They've never had a Yuccaneers or an Aints or a Dolts or a Bungles, 10, 12 years of 5-11, 4-12, 3-13. But this is a third straight losing season, almost certainly double-digit losing season. How deep in the valley is the Jets franchise at this point in time?
Well, it's tied for the second longest playoff drought in their history. They had another eight year in the 1970s, but at least they were able to celebrate the Super Bowl. It was a 10-year celebration, I guess, after the Super Bowl in 69, so at least they had that to live off. The longest was, they had an 11-year, but to me, this is the worst, because in the free agency salary cap era, the league is built for parity, and to go 8 years in a row out of the playoffs, there's just no excuse for it. You can flip your roster pretty easily in a year or two, and the Jets have been flipping for the last 8 years, and they haven't gotten anywhere. So it's a bad year, and there will be big changes in the offseason.
Well, head coach Todd Bowles in his fourth year, 10-6 year one, but then Ryan Fitzpatrick collapses in the fourth quarter. They miss the playoffs, then 5-11, 5-11, 4-9. I would seem, at least from the outside, a formality, he's out. And then a rung higher, Mike Maccagnan was hired out of the non-dynastic Texans front office. What would be his status in your evaluation of the Maccagnan regime?
Well, he's really the question here, because Todd, well, you're right, it is a formality with Todd. He's going to be replaced at the end of the year with the rest of the coaching staff. The big question is Mike Maccagnan. They came in together. They were hired the same day, kind of presented as a tandem, even though they didn't even know each other. It was basically an arranged marriage. And so my gut tells me, from talking to people around the organization, that the chances are likely that they'll keep Mike to hire the next coach and continue this building process, which, as I mentioned a moment ago, seems to be perpetual. But, Mike hasn't done a great job either. I mean, I think he's equally responsible for this season. A lot of his draft picks haven't worked out. He's had some big free agent misses. But he did get Sam Darnold, and the owner loves Sam Darnold. And, I think he deserves credit for that, because he had to trade up and get him. Got a little lucky on draft day. But, point is, they got him, and they're happy with him. And so I think that will probably be Mike Maccagnan's life preserver.
Rich, plenty of young quarterbacks put up bad numbers and go on to become outstanding. They don't all walk in and immediately be Andrew Luck Russell Wilson. So Darnold, 56% completions, 12 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, regular rating, QBR. They're all bad numbers. But given all that and given what is around him, what's the confidence level that, you know what, Darnold is the right guy and the Jets finally have that quote-unquote franchise quarterback around whom to build?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the right guy. I think he's got a high ceiling. You can see it. I mean, you saw it in the fourth quarter last week against the Bills. You know, he rallied them from a couple of deficits. If you're a stats guy and you're looking at it strictly on paper, you'd say there's no way this guy's going to amount to anything because, as you just said, he's at the bottom of the league in most of the major passing categories. But there's a couple of variables. One, he doesn't have much around him. It's not like Deshaun coming in last year has a DeAndre Hopkins. The Jets don't have any blue chip playmakers on offense, and I also don't think they're very well coached on offense. They're going to have a new coordinator next year, and I think having a fresh approach on offense will really help Sam. So I still think he's got a high ceiling. Right now he's just going through those rookie growing pains.
You know, no matter what injury issues, depth chart problems, rookie quarterback, it's still stunning to me that in today's NFL, with three games to go in the season, the Jets' leading receiver has 38 catches, and of course, Quincy Enunwa was out tomorrow.
Yeah, they're passing offense. I mean, we could talk all day. I got so many statistics on how bad they are. We could go on forever, but yeah, I mean, their passing offense is just horrendous. They haven't been able to sustain much, and for the reasons I just talked about, you know, it's a young quarterback. He's had three or four good games. He's also had three or four clunkers. And it's really hard to, you know, get things going and you know, the talent issue and the coaching issue. And so, I mean, it's just the numbers are horrific. Statistically, it'll end up being one of the worst offenses in Jets history. And really, that's saying something right there.
In terms of the here and now, Rich, is there what you would consider a strength of this team in terms of what the Texans face tomorrow?
Actually, they do have a strength, Charlie, and it's a strength that never was a strength before. It's special teams. You know, for years, you know, for probably 5, 6, 7 years, they were terrible on special teams, but they've turned it around this year. I think they have a Pro Bowl caliber kicker in Jason Myers. They have a Pro Bowl caliber returner in Andre Roberts. Their coverage units are good. They've blocked a bunch of kicks this year. So they do have a strength, believe it or not. And it's obviously hasn't been enough to change too many games around, but it's something they can lean on. And if the Texans' coverage units aren't crisp tomorrow, then they better watch out for Andre Roberts because he can take one to the house.
Talking with Rich Cimini, ESPN.com, NFL Nation on the Jets beat for us. I presume it won't be a rip-roaring environment there in terms of hostility the Texans will have to face. 4-9 Jets team. Last forecast I saw was still, what, rainy in the 40s? What do you think the stadium feel's going to be?
It's going to be ugly, Charlie. I mean, I think there'll be more traffic at the local shopping malls near the stadium, you know, with holiday shoppers than there will be getting into the stadium. I checked StubHub a couple of days ago. I think tickets were going for about as low as $9.50, which means your beer at the stadium will probably cost more than your ticket to get in. I don't know if the Texans fans travel well. If they do, they'll probably be, you know, and they could be in the majority tomorrow because I don't think there'll be a lot of Jet fans there. It's going to be an ugly kind of feel. Although the fact that Sam Darnold's playing is encouraging. He hasn't played a home game in a while because he was out a month with a foot injury. So I think that would be the only attraction for Jet fans.
Yeah, Texans actually have a decent traveling fan base in a December holiday season weekend in New York. I imagine they will be fairly well represented tomorrow. Hey, insiders, outsider view. A couple thoughts on the Texans and their plausible high end. They're 9-4, relatively soft division, very favorable schedule overall, but a 9-game winning streak, still a meaningful accomplishment. You have them one tier, two tiers, as many tiers as you want behind, say, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and I guess the Patriots would be a clear top three at this point, subject to if the Steelers beat the Patriots Sunday.
Yeah, I put them in the second tier. I don't think they're among the top three in the AFC. You alluded to the schedule. I just checked the other day. I think they played the 30th hardest schedule. And, you know, it's been a soft schedule, one of the softer schedules in the league. You know, so that jumped out at me. And but you know, I like what they've done. You know, they've got Deshaun's going now that he's healthy. I think he'll be a big problem for the Jets just because of his mobility. The Jets have given up tons of rushing yards to quarterbacks the last couple of weeks against Mariota and Josh Allen. So that's an area that Texans can exploit. They're a good, solid team. Obviously, they can bring pressure. I think the Jets are very concerned about Watt and his ability for strip sacks. So, but I don't see the Texans. I mean, nine games is an incredible accomplishment in the NFL in a row, but I don't see them as an elite team right now. I think they're just a notch below.
Look, you have to grade it on a curve. I mean, their schedule reality is it, so credit to them for winning nine in a row and almost certainly going to the playoffs, winning the division. But an elite team, I think only the most Texans deep steel blue tinted glasses wearers could faintly argue for that. So to boil it down, Rich, in terms of tomorrow, I mean, the Jets, they're bad. Their numbers across the board are bad. Crowell is out as well as the leading receiver. But they are coming off a win at Buffalo, so that means they're putting out. I mean, they had Tennessee nearly beaten the week before that. They didn't completely get smoked by the Patriots the week before that. Texans giving 6.5. I would think the Texans are chastened, or I don't know that they needed to be awakened, but off a home loss to the Colts, what do you think tomorrow?
I picked the Texans to win 31-13.
Wow.
I just, motivation is a big part of the NFL in the month of December. You know, you got a team like the Texans, they're playing for that division title. The Jets are playing for nothing. And, you know, and I think last week was a rousing victory for them, relatively speaking. And I just, just from being around the team this week, I don't think they can sustain that. I think they're just going to have a hard time moving the ball against that front seven. This could be an epic game for J.J. and Clowney. It's going to be hard for Sam, and I almost feel sorry for him because no leading rusher. Although Eli McGuire is a pretty good back, not having Quincy Enunwa, it's just going to be really hard for the Jets to score points in this game. So that's why I think it could get away from them.
Rich Cimini, ESPN.com, NFL Nation. Hey, good catching up. The time and insight, appreciated. And oh, lest I forget, means nothing to the audience listening, but Lisa Galliano Dunleavy said to say hi.
Oh, great. We're Facebook friends, and she's great, and it's good to hear and pass it right back to her.
There you have it. Hey, Rich, happy holidays. Thanks again.
Thanks. You too, Charlie.
All right, a break to catch up on, and I told you we wouldn't break down the Andre Johnson-Darrell Revis matchup. 12:31 on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Smiling face, but they'll stab you in the back as soon as you turn. Walk away and
This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.